This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shahzana Mokhtar, together with Noel Lim and Philip C. We start the day, as we always do as well, with a recap of global markets and how they ended trading.
Yesterday, looking at the US markets, the Dow was down 0.2%, S&P 500 was down 0.1%, Nasdaq was up 0.2%. And looking at the Asian markets, the Nikkei was down 2.2%, Hang Seng up 0.5%, Shanghai Composite also up 0.2%, STI up 0.7%, FBM KLCI up by 0.2%. I think Hang Seng was actually close, so just ignore that figure.
All right. Well, helping us to make sense of market movements today is Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst with Owanda. Good morning, Jeff. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day to you. Let's start with U.S. markets, because we see that U.S. markets were whipsawing between positive and negative territory yesterday, but closing in the red in the last few minutes of trading. So why are markets so jittery?
Yeah, I think they're being swept between different tides here. So we've got the FOMC meeting in progress in New York today, and we'll get those results tomorrow morning. Obviously, this ongoing Evergrande situation is roiling markets as well. Will there be contagion? Will it spread to the wider financial system internationally? Also, liquidity in Asia in particular has been much reduced because, as you said, China was away yesterday, although Hong Kong is away today. But we've also had South Korea and Japan away on holidays this week as well. So it's a combination of all of these factors coming together. It's leaving investors without a clear thematic sort of a thematic theme, I suppose, to hitch their wagons to.
Are we going to see more downside effects from Evergrande missing their debt payments on Monday? Is it looking like a Lehman Brothers to you?
I don't think it's going to be a Lehman Brothers. I think this will be contained to China. I mean, the amount of actual dollar bonds they have in the international markets is not systematically important. I think what is systematically important is how China deals with this. They've already missed a loan payment, but the Chinese government last week telegraphed that they would to some Chinese banks on Monday. Tomorrow is the real biggie, though, because that's when they're due to make some coupon payments on offshore dollar bonds, although they do have a 30-day grace period after that before an official default is called. So this could drag on. I think the end game will be that the Chinese government knocks heads and comes up with some sort of debt equity swap.
And given the onset of risk across all financial sectors, why hasn't gold been gaining the traction it usually gets as a hedge against volatile markets?
Yeah, well, it actually did manage to rise the last two sessions after a pretty torrid week before. I think gold itself is a hedge against inflation, but it's really only a hedge against high inflation, and we're not in a really high inflation world. Inflation has gone up, but we're not talking sort of 7, 8, 9, 10% consistently over a period of time. So I think gold has suffered from a stronger dollar and also from US yields edging higher. And I think concerns around the Fed announcing a tapering at the end of the year will continue to limit gold's gains. And in fact, from a technical perspective, gold looks like more likely to trade at 1,700 than it does at 1,800 at the moment.
On this note, a slew of central banks will be deciding on monetary policies this week. Any likely to significantly alter their policy direction at this stage, or is pretty much wait and see to follow closely what the Fed would do next?
Well, we've got China today with their loan prime rates. It'll be a massive surprise, though, if they cut those, frankly. I think a triple R rate cut for the banks is much more likely as an easing mechanism in Q4. The Bank of Japan today, I'm expecting to remain unchanged. Norway will probably raise interest rates by about 0.5% this week. They've been signalling that pretty aggressively. And Brazil as well. They've certainly been on a tightening path over the last few meetings. But all roads really do lead to the FOMC. And we're really going to have to see what they say, whether they're as dovish as usual, or whether they signal that they are looking to enact this taper towards the end of the year. And it'll be interesting to see if markets can avoid some sort of taper tantrum. I'm not talking 2013 level, but whether that does affect markets into Q4.
That's you know, there's certainly a lot of new noise right now. What do you make of the surge in natural gas prices and its implications?
Yeah, this one's a pretty ugly price rise. The prices have nearly doubled now. Part of it lies with Russia, which where Gazprom is not pumping as much gas to Europe as the Europeans had hoped. They're meeting their bare minimum contractual obligations. Now, they have very unsubtly said that if the Europeans get their Nord Stream 2 pipeline approvals in order quickly, then Gazprom will magically be able to start pumping more gas. Not quite sure what that's going to say about Russia's reputation as a reliable trade partner, but that's certainly causing a squeeze. And we have below seasonal amounts of gas in storage in Europe. Also, there's increasing demand from Northern Asia, China, Japan, South Korea, ahead of the winter, and all of these factors have come together to push gas prices much, much higher. And in fact, I think much of the world will be having their fingers crossed that it's a mild winter, because if it's a very cold winter this year, we could be starting to see problems with heating and also power generation.
So how long do you expect this impasse to last between the Russians and the Europeans?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It depends if the Europeans decide to proceed a bit faster with this approval of this Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which goes straight to Germany and bypasses Poland and the Ukraine, etc. So there's geopolitics going on there as well. But I can't see even Gazprom being able to magically pump the amount of gas through to bring storage levels up to the required amounts in Europe in a very rapid pace. So I think the squeeze on gas prices is going to continue well into the end of the year.
Let's cap our conversation with a look at Indonesia, Jeff, where you are. And Indonesia seems to have controlled the virus and is planning to reopen its borders in stages. What's your outlook? What's your outlook on the economy now?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was so excited to talk about Indonesia here. Look, the traffic's definitely back in Jakarta. I certainly noticed that one, and things are reopening here. And as you said, cases and tragically deaths have fallen very, very low. And I think the vaccination campaign has had a lot to do with that in Java. The central bank is still wary, though, because Indonesia's recovery did take a huge knock over the last 3-4 months because of this Delta outbreak, as has Malaysia and much of ASEAN for the same reasons. So they're still cautious, but their outlook is positive. The current account is very strong as well. Exports are rising very strongly, even as imports are rising, both the signs of a recovering economy. And I think that current account surplus will ensure that there's not too much pressure on the Indonesian rupiah. I think ASEAN's biggest challenge will be if the Federal Reserve signals a taper in the end of the year, and whether there's a taper tantrum and whether that feeds through to weaker Asian currencies. But we don't know that as yet.
Jeff, thanks as always for chatting with us. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Uwanda, giving us a take on some of the elements moving the markets and what his outlook for the Indonesian economy is as things begin to reopen.
Yeah, so just looking at some of his comments, I think Evergrande, the news on that will continue to hog the headlines, and also the FOMC meetings, that will be something that we want to continue to study.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.